What I've been struck by in every conversation I've had with a business leader, with a clinical leader, among our companies, they all want to be part of making the system work better.
But really the mission here is about affordability, access, quality, and equity.
Welcome to The Next Big Thing in Health, an AHIP podcast where we explore new ideas that help make healthcare more affordable, more available, and more effective. I'm today's host, Robert Trainum, Executive Vice President of Public Affairs here at AHIP. If you'd like to watch the video episode of our discussion, head to YouTube and search for AHIP coverage or check the show notes for links. Let's dive in. I'm joined by Pat Garrity, President and CEO of GuideWell and Chairman of AHIP's Board of Directors, and Mike Tuffin, AHIP President and CEO. As industry leaders and respected voices in health, we'll explore the state of healthcare and coverage in the United States and find out what lies ahead for AHIP and our industry. Welcome. It's good to see you both. I'd love to start this conversation with an icebreaker. And little birdie told me that you're both sports guys. So tell us a little bit more about that.
So guilty as charged on the sports guy. I'm a New York Giant football fan my whole life. And now I'm in Jacksonville, Florida, and been there a long time. So I have absolutely picked up the Jaguars, but the Giants are my first love.
Has sports been a part of your life from the beginning, Pat?
Absolutely. Grew up playing football, basketball, and baseball. Loved all of those sports. Learned a lot from team sports. And learned that allegiance to the Giants from my father. My brother and I were very dedicated to following the Giants throughout all the ups and downs. Mostly downs, but loyal fans.
Mike, same question.
So the two most painful sports moments of my lifetime were both delivered by the New York Giants when they beat my beloved New England Patriots in two Super Bowls. So,
yes, I remember those fondly.
So those were dark days. But, yeah, sports is a big part of our life. My dad first took me to Fenway Park when I was six and have been a lifelong Boston sports fan. And even though our family now lives in Metro D.C., I have our kids fully indoctrinated as Boston sports fans.
Very nice. Allow me for a few moments, gentlemen, to keep this analogy going with sports, teamwork, a coach rowing in the same direction, literally and figuratively. I want to use that and carry that through this conversation with respect to how you got into healthcare. Pat, let's start with you.
So for me, getting into healthcare was an interesting journey. It really was about helping people and the critical nature of health and health coverage. Is something that really appealed to me.
Mike, same question for you.
Yeah, sure, Robert. Thank you. Always been, my whole life, policy junkie, advocacy, the political realm, all of it. And there's really no place you can apply those interests and have more impact than in the healthcare system in the U.S. And with all the challenges we face, all the opportunities we face. So I've always been really drawn to that.
Pat, we are so fortunate to have you as our new board chair, but you also have a full-time job. You wear a different hat, and that is CEO of GuideWell. Walk us through your vision for your not-for-profit organization.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. GuideWell and Florida Blue, which is the main Blue Cross Blue Shield company under GuideWell, and Triple S, which is the most recent acquisition from Puerto Rico, they're both not-for-profit companies. They're focused on dealing with the health and well-being of the people in Florida and in Puerto Rico. GuideWell also does things to serve people across the country, bringing health services to folks. But really the mission here is about affordability, access, quality, and equity. And really that equity piece is so much more in focus than it was in the past. And I think it really speaks to the diverse populations that we're taking care of and really thinking about how do we bring quality healthcare to everyone that we deal with and really allow people to live their best life. So our mission as a company is to help people and communities achieve better health, and working on that each and every day with a great team of people is what we're about. And so that drives me every day. I'm passionate about that mission and the ability to make that difference in the Florida and Puerto Rico markets. And as chair of AHIP, I see a real convergence of those priorities and really thinking about how do we bring affordable, quality, accessible, equitable care to everyone in the country.
Mike, this is almost like Back to the Future. You were at AHIP for many, many years as Executive Vice President for Public Affairs, left, and now you're back as our new President and CEO. What brought you back to AHIP?
Well, I think, Robert, many of the same themes that Pat touched on. When I think about the fact that our members serve more than 200 million people, that's in the commercial market, that's in Medicaid, that's in the marketplaces, that's in Medicare, the opportunity to contribute to that at a time when the healthcare system is facing both really daunting challenges, but we've also got some momentum and we've made a lot of progress in certain areas. So thrilled to be back. And as I've reflected on my first time at AHIP, I think about the implementation of the Medicare drug bill. I think about the advent of the Affordable Care Act and guaranteed coverage for all Americans. And I see a lot of opportunity working with our chair and our broader membership to build on those accomplishments on behalf of the sector.
Question for you both. I want to go back to Mike's earlier comment around some of the challenges in the healthcare industry. What keeps you up at night? What is that one or two big things like, oh, crud, we need to figure this out on behalf of the hundreds of millions of Americans we serve?
You know, what keeps me up at night is the affordability question, particularly given all of the pressures that we're facing. We've got a major pipeline of specialty drugs coming at us. Those drugs offer a lot of promise, but they're very expensive. And so how do we bring these drugs into the system and yet deliver on our promise of affordability? That's one of the biggest drivers. We're also in this post-pandemic world where we find a lot of pressure from the provider community to sort of make up for some of the economic shortfalls or challenges that have developed as a result, like in labor shortages and the pressure that our provider partners are having in that space. So when you're trying to balance that whole equation, it's tremendous pressure to really deliver the affordable care that you're trying to deliver to your members. So that's really one of the things that keeps me up at night. One thing that isn't keeping me up at night is that we were able to bring Mike Tuffin to AHIP. So I can sleep very comfortably knowing that Mike is on the team and we're working together on this mission.
Same question for you, Mike.
You know, I think about all the markets where people get coverage, progress in all of them, but also threats ahead. Emerging threats to the ERISA framework that has provided affordable, stable coverage to tens of millions of Americans for generations need to keep that strong. The tax policies that have helped millions of people find affordable coverage in the marketplaces, those expire at the end of next year, need to be extended. 33 million people who've made the choice of Medicare Advantage for their Medicare coverage need to make sure that coverage is gonna stay stable for them. And Medicaid, a big learning out of the pandemic as redeterminations of Medicaid eligibility resume, we have to make it as simple and easy and seamless for people to stay in Medicaid coverage if they are eligible, and if not, to get them immediately into new coverage.
Pat, from your perspective, what else have you seen throughout your healthcare career, just in terms of the innovation or the evolution of healthcare?
You know, Robert, we are always deploying new technologies, and new technologies have helped us in a variety of different ways to be better, to be more efficient. We've seen artificial intelligence that has really helped us automate processes. Now, that banner of artificial intelligence includes ChatGPT, and there's as much concern as there is optimism. And so our challenge will be how do we bring that new technology into play in an effective way, in a prudent way, so that it benefits our customers and doesn't compromise our customers. That is a significant challenge. It's the next wave of any technological advancement to have something that has upside and has downside. Look at social media, look at television, look at all these things that we've all embraced as a society. There's upside and downside to each of them, and it's incumbent upon us to try and emphasize and really focus on how do we bring the best of the new technology to bear and limit or mitigate the risk side of that equation.
Mike, did you want to answer that?
So much emphasis, appropriately so, on AI in particular, and frankly, a lot of skepticism about the potential role of AI in healthcare. We need to make sure we have space for innovation here and we allow AI and other technologies to flourish. We're not gonna fulfill the promise of equity unless we max out the appropriate use of these technologies, because they're gonna enable us to reach people in new ways. And of course, there have to be safeguards. Consumers have to be protected. Stakeholders have to be involved. But we have to be really careful that the baby doesn't get thrown out with the bathwater when it comes to regulating the use of these technologies.
Can we unpack this a little bit more? You mentioned equity, also affordability and accessibility, and obviously AI. Simple question, are we rising to the challenge? Is this our moment to be able to meet these challenges?
Well, I think if we're being candid, we haven't risen to this challenge as a society. And now we have a greater opportunity. There's more clarity around the gap. There's more clarity in the data, what needs to be done. And we should be driven by the passion of doing the right thing. So I think we have this great opportunity. If you think about something like AI that we were just discussing, think about rural healthcare. Rural healthcare has been way underserved. But if we can make sure that every clinician has all of the available medical data at their fingertips through their phone, think of how much different the distribution of health and healthcare can be in a rural society than it is right now. Think about underserved urban communities where we're arming people with the very best information. That's only a piece of the equation, but it's certainly a big piece of the equation. So I'm optimistic that the new technologies can be one of the tools we deploy to get at this gap in equity.
You know, when I think of AHIP, I think of a community of large and small, for-profit, not-for-profit, rural and urban, and the future is really bright based on that community. What does that look like for you, the vision of AHIP?
Well, I think the vision of AHIP is to really allow all people in the United States to live their best life. And if we think about it that way, we're really thinking about how do we invest ourselves in keeping people well in the first place? It's what do we do on the front end? How do we make sure people have access? How do we make sure people have transportation? How do we make sure they have nutrition? The ability to have early childhood learning so that they're ahead of the curve. You know, this is something we do in our company. We've identified 6 zip codes in the state of Florida, and with partners, we're going deep into those zip codes to change those communities. I think AHIP has the power to do this all across the country. So we should think big. We should have a large vision for what we want to do. Not alone, but with partners, with our partners in the delivery system, because collectively we have such power and such ability to change the lives and the communities in which we work.
Mike, your vision for AHIP?
In my early months in the role here, I've had the opportunity to touch base with leaders from across the industry. And as you noted, we have companies large and small, regional, local, national, different models, serving different marketplaces. What I've been struck by in every conversation I've had with a business leader, with a clinical leader among our companies, they all want to be part of making the system work better. They all want us at the table driving solutions, get everyone covered, make the system more sustainable, finally get at health equity in a meaningful way. And so the opportunity we have to coalesce our sector, and then as Pat said, be at the table with others and actually make progress. That's the vision.
The name of this podcast is The Next Big Thing in Health. So my last question for you both is, top of mind for you, what is that next big thing in health? You kind of alluded to AI. You kind of alluded to how that's the big promise in terms of accessibility and affordability, but love to hear any final thoughts you have on that.
You know, Robert, I think AI is a tool and it's part of where we're going collectively. But in my mind, we have this incredible opportunity to bring an integration of the healthcare system, this way too long fractured system that we operate in. So within my plan in Florida, as an example, we are now partnered with delivery system. So we have over 100 primary care offices that we either own through joint ventures or own outright. We have emergency medical facilities. We have at-home healthcare. So when you talk about a plan like ours, you can't just call us a insurance company. You can't just call us a plan. We're actually integrating healthcare for our customers. And I think that's what our customers are looking for. They're looking for affordability. You have to be integrated into that part of the process. Then you have to make it work from a customer perspective. And so we very much spend our time putting ourselves in the member's shoes. What does this look like? What does it feel like? Each of us have our own personal journey in health and healthcare. And we know when it's broken or fractured, it doesn't work for us as individuals. It doesn't work for our members. So we've got to be taking on our members' perspective and thinking about how do we make that work so that it's coherent, so it's cohesive. And so that's really the next generation in my mind. It's not this big rocket ship. It's making it work so our customers say, I love the experience of navigating my health and my healthcare with you as a partner.
It sounds a lot like guiding greater health.
Yeah.
Mike?
Next big thing, Robert. One of the next big things, I think our country, we're gonna look back 10, 20 years from now, and we're gonna be in a very different place when it comes to site of service. All the challenges we're talking about, people in rural communities, underserved urban communities, we need to innovate and get people care in the way that meets their needs. Think of a parent with a child that likely has strep throat. Do we really need that parent to take a day off of work, drive their child to a physician's office, and then on to the pharmacy, et cetera, with all the costs, all the inconveniences? We need to get to modernizing site of service. We need care in the home for people who currently aren't being reached by the healthcare system. So a lot of exciting innovations coming to bear on the site of service front. And I think we'll look back a decade or more from now and really be in the midst of a transformation.
All right, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.